got a letter from Aviva. And pictures.
Yeah, the little baby.
The big boy who was with a tefillin, and the little tefillin
baby.
And a Melech.
Yeah. But my father's name is Eli Melech.
Who?
My father's name is Eli Melech.
So I ordered a tefillin for him.
Already? Okay. Okay, yeah. The Gemara in Brachas has the dinim about anias amen, that when someone says a bracha, even if the bracha has nothing to do with me, someone says asheyotze, says bar nefashes, whatever, you're supposed to answer amen. Then the Gemara in Sukkah has a din, let's say somebody says kiddush havdalah, and I want to be yotze, so I'm supposed to say amen. What if I don't say amen? So the Gemara says you're also yotze. It's not a machlokes. The Gemara says everybody agrees. The Rabbanim and the Dayanim and the Sofrim. The Gemara says everybody agrees. The din is shomeya ke'ayna. One who pays attention to someone else's bracha is as good as ani asamein and your yotze. So the Rambam quotes that halach in the beginning of Hilchas Brachas and the end of Perek Aleph. You should always answer amen. But even if you have no shaychus with the bracha, but even if you do have shaychus with the bracha, you have to be yotze kiddush and avdalah. You're yotze by paying attention, even if you don't answer amen. But then the Rambam describes in Hilchas Tefillah Chazoras Hashatz. So from the Rambam's description, you get the impression that when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei, the Chazoras Hashatz, it sounds as if anias amen is ma'akev. That if the tzibur doesn't answer amen, you're just not yotze the Chazoras Hashatz. Why should that be so? If the Rambam quotes the Gemara that shomeya ke'ayna, even if you don't answer Ramad, you yotze kiddush, you yotze havdalah. So why all of a sudden by Chazoras Hashatz is not so? So Rav Soloveitchik used to give his pshat that it says in the Kriyas HaTorah we just had 2 weeks ago that by Hagrizim and Harevo, when they crossed over the Yarden, we just learned the Gemara in the end of Saita, when they crossed over the Yarden, so Yeshua ben Nun organized the brachas to close Hagrizim and Harevo. So it says v'yonu kol ha'am v'yomru amen. Everybody said amen. So Rachi guess, what do they have to say amen if the din is shomeya ke'ayna, if you pay attention, so just as good. So the answer is, if it's a davar shel tzibur, you need audience participation. If the audience is just going to stand there like a golem, when you say kiddush and avdalah, that's a private thing. And even if you have 1,000 people, it doesn't have to be, kiddush doesn't have to be betzibur. Kiddush is a private thing. So you say kiddush and I pay attention, even if I don't answer amen. Shomeya is ke'ayna. It's considered as if I answer amen. But if you're talking about Chazoras Hashatz, a Dabar Shel Tzibur, so there the Rambam seems to have understood that Anias Amein is Likuva, and if the Tzibur is not going to answer Amein, he can't call it a Dabar Shel Tzibur. So now the Gemara Brachas has rules, Shulchan Aruch quotes, the Gemara Brachas has rules, how are you supposed to answer Amein? So the Gemara says you shouldn't answer Amein Chatufa, and you shouldn't answer Amein Yisoyma. What's Chatufa? What is Gechapt? What do you mean Chatufa? So there are different translations. How do you understand Amen Chatufa? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Aruch. Rashi does not give this pshat. But the Aruch was before the days of Rashi. Rashi every so often will quote from the Aruch. The Aruch is a dictionary that was written by an Italian Rishon. I was in Italy this summer. So the Aruch lived in Rome. Rav Nosson Bal HaAruch. So the Rashi and Tosfos every so often will quote from the Aruch. So the Aruch, it's a dictionary, so it usually translates. And sometimes you see the way he translates the Pirush HaMila is that it's a different pshat from the way we usually learn. So the Aruch translates Omen Chatufa Ois Gechapt. You chapt Ois, you said the Omen too soon. Let's say a person says Shakon Yebidvaroi, and I answer Omen before he finishes the last syllable of the last word. People do it all the time. In all the shuls, when the Chazan gets up in the morning and he says the Birchas HaShachar, the 15th Birchas HaShachar, so many of the people, if not most of the people, Chapanois, they answer Amen. The Rabbonim also, they answer Amen before the person says the final syllable of the word. So the Aruch learns, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this pshat, you shouldn't answer Amen until the bracha was completed, till the one who's reciting the bracha recites the final syllable of the word. Then the Gemara says you shouldn't answer Amen Yisayma. What says that Amen Yisayma? So Rashi learns this, everybody learns the same pshat. Yosa means has no parents. So if a person says a bracha and I'm going to dilly-dally, I'm not going to answer amen till a few seconds later. You should answer amen immediately after the person finishes the bracha. You shouldn't wait 5 seconds, because then the amen is like a yosem. It doesn't relate back to the bracha. So the Mishnah Brura writes that both of these dinim, Amen Chatufa with Amen Yisayma, are usually violated Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. Take for example, Amen Yisayma. So in a lot of communities, the Mishnah Brura writes this, a lot of communities that have a nigin by the Chatzi Kaddish before the Shmona Esrei by Ma'ariv on Rosh Hashanah. So the final line, Damiran v'yalma v'yimiru, goes on and on and on and on until he finally cracks his eyes to say Amen. So the Mishnah Brura says, that's another thing. Let's say the Chazan says Kaddish, and he says, Damiran v'yalma v'yimru Amen. So he's supposed to wait till the Chazan finishes the whole sentence. Chazan says, v'yimru Amen, zog Amen. So if he tells the people, say Amen, then everybody says Amen. Many times the niggin is such that the chazan says v'yimru, everybody screams out amen. He didn't finish the sentence yet. He has to first give the instruction, the imru amen, and then you say amen. So that's an amen chatufa. This is oizgachap too fast. You're answering amen too fast. And then Mishnah Brura says, but sometimes the niggin is so long, the imru keeps on going and going. So the Mishnah Brura says, just say amen. That's all. Forget about the imru. He said, Damiram be'alma, so he say amen. In Broyas, they have this thing. It goes on and on and on. So the Mishnah Brura says he's supposed to answer amen before he finishes, because it'll be an amen yisayimah. You're going to be waiting too long to say the amen. It won't relate back to the brach. And then the amen chatufa is very often violated on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tovim also. Let's say the chazan says the brach, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher Habris. People usually chapois, they say, while he's saying the final syllable, they say amen before he finished. So that's not correct. That's an amen chatufa. So Rav Soloveitchik had the practice, and it's not only his practice. Apparently his uncle, Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, had the same practice. It must be in the family. They all have this practice. Then at Rosh Hashanah, he used to make an announcement before the Baal Tekeh would say the bracha, the Shmaya Kol Shofar. After the Baal Tekeh says the bracha, he's supposed to listen to the tekiyas. Then you're not supposed to talk until after all the tekiyas, after the Shmona Esrei is over. So Rav Soloveitchik would always make the announcement beforehand. So he would insist that no one should answer amen to the bracha of the chazan until the chazan completes the final syllable of the bracha. And I remember when I was a bocher in the yeshiva, some of the rabbonim had, some of the rebbes in the yeshiva had rabbinical positions, so they weren't there Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And those who didn't have positions as rabbonim, they used to daven with the talmidim in the yeshiva. So remember, there used to be Rabbi Fishman. So he did not have a rabbonim. So he was a talmid of Rabbi Elvela Soloveitchik in Europe. He learned Rabbi Elvela in Brisk. So he would come to the yeshiva. When it would come to the end of the bracha, he was always looking forward. Arishtender was looking towards the Aron Kodesh. When it came to the end of the bracha, he would turn around, and he would be like a choir leader. He would show everyone when you're not supposed to say amen, when you are supposed to say amen. You're not supposed to answer amen until after the chazan finishes the final syllable of the bracha. Why make such a fuss only on Rosh Hashanah? It's a problem all year long also. So the reason why they made more of a fuss on Rosh Hashanah is because the Mishnah has a din that you're supposed to hear the tkiyas al seder habrachas. You're supposed to hear the tkiyas that when the chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei out loud at the conclusion of Malchias, at the conclusion of Zechronis, and at the conclusion of Shofars. The Mishnah doesn't say explicitly. Mishnah just says if you're ready, Hotshain Obgedavend Musaf, if you're ready, Davend Musaf, then you got a Shofar. So you blow shofar afterwards. So the Gemara says, but it's implied in the Mishnah that if you do have a shofar in advance, that's only b'di'evet to blow shofar after Musaf. More correct is to blow shofar in the middle of Musaf after Malchus Chayin Shofar is in Chazaras Hashatz. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that this is only b'chever ear. This halacha that you blow shofar tkiyas al seder brachas in conjunction with the brachas in the Shmona Esrei is only b'tzibur. B'yochid it doesn't apply. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim didn't feel well and he couldn't go to shul. He was davening beichidus at home, and he had a private, personal Baal Tekeah. So he told the Baal Tekeah, "When I finish Malchias, I'm going to signal to you, and you should blow shofar for me." And then the Gemara says, "But we don't accept his opinion. We don't pass like that, because he didn't know this brisa." The Gemara quotes a brisa that this halacha that you have tkiyas al seder abroches is only in the Chazaras Hashatz. The Gemara doesn't say exactly Chazaras Hashatz. The Gemara says Bechever Ir, Betzibur. So that's why there's a long Tosus, a famous Tosus on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. But Tosus gives you all the rules about the Tkiyas. So Tosus quotes from the Oruch, that's that Rishon who lived in Rome. The Oruch gives you the whole system, when do you blow Shofar? So the Oruch writes like by the Hasidim. They blow Shofar in the Shtilu Shmon Esrei, in the middle of Tfilah Balachash, and then they blow Shofar again after Malchus Chayin Shofar is in the Chazaras Hashatz. So the Oruch is of the opinion, that's what the Hasidim do also, Oruch is of the opinion, whenever you have Tfilah B'tzibah, whether you have Tfilah B'tzibah Balachash, or you have the Chazaras Hashatz, whenever you have Tfilah B'tzibah, you have to have the Tkiyas in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, after the Malchus Chayin Shofar. And the common practice then by the Misnagdim, by most places, is you only have the Tkiyas al Seder Brachas and Chazaras Hashatz. You don't have in the Shtilu Shmon Esrei. In fact, Avdenezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was a great Goyen. He was a Chassidish Rebbe. So he writes in his Tshuvas that it's such a balagan when they blow Shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash, is Gefela, because the people don't synchronize the davening. They don't daven. They're not all holding the end of Malchias. Half of the people are still in after Kodesh Shem Chagat. They didn't finish the first bracha yet. Half of the people already finished the whole Shmon Esrei. Nobody's holding by the same place. So he writes, it's such a terrible thing. It's a balagan. If I wouldn't be a Chassidish Rebbe, I wouldn't do it. But he says, what can I do? That's what I do for a living. A Chassidish Rebbe. So by the Chassidim, they have to blow Shofar in the middle of the Shtilu Shmon Esrei also. Rav Soloveitchik's family tradition was that in the middle of the Shtilu Shmon Esrei, if it's a small minyan, they'll blow Shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. But in the big shul, they wouldn't do it because it'll be a balagan. The people will, the whole oilam will be totally confused. They won't know what's happening. That's Rav Soloveitchik. He used to make his announcement before the Baal Tekeya began to blow. So he said, everyone should be careful how to answer Amen and so on. Then he said, we're going to blow in the Tefillah Belachash. I'm going to daven my Shtilu Shmon Esrei a little louder. He always used to daven Shtilu Shmon Esrei louder. When we used to finish this year in the yeshiva, so we used to daven Mincha. So someone would be the Baal Tefillah, he would say Ashrei, then Chatzi Kaddish, and then Rav Soloveitchik would start to say the Shtilu Shmon Esrei. Everybody thought he was going to make a Hechi Kedusha because he was davening so loud. And then he went by after Kaddish, after Chaynin. So they realized, oh, that's the Shtilu Shmon Esrei. That wasn't a Hechi Kedusha. He always used to daven out loud because he followed those opinions that you need Mashmi Eliyozna. More correct is that you have to daven so loud you should hear. He used to daven so loud the students heard also. Everybody in the class also heard. So he used to say on Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to daven the Shtilu Shmon Esrei a little louder than usual. It was the same as it always was. He's going to daven the Shtilu Shmon Esrei a little louder than usual. So everybody will be able to synchronize their davening with him. And when you get to the end of Malchias, everybody should pause and wait till when I'm going to finish Malchias, then the Baal Tekeh is going to blow. Then he used to give Mutzer. He said, I don't understand how you daven the Shmon Esrei so quickly. I'm older than everybody here in the room. He was the oldest one. I'm older than everybody. I know the Shmon Esrei by heart. He talked to all the temp sukkim and Malchus. He knows it all by heart, and he's been saying it, and he davens very quickly. He always davens very quickly. He says, it's not physically possible you should finish every word in the bracha before me. That's not possible. You should daven a little slow. And he didn't daven slowly. He used to daven quickly, even at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But he said every word. That's all. He said every word. So yes, the whole oilam that they should daven along with him, the Shtilu Shmon Esrei, so that when they hear the Tkiyas, when they're about to get after Malchias, it'll be after their Malchias. When they hear after Zechrinus, it'll be by them also after Zechrinus. So the reason why there was a Kpeda on Rosh Hashanah, more so than all year long, is because, why such an assistant? Everybody should be careful to answer Amen properly, because this din that appears in the Mishnah, we'll speak about it in a minute, is this a din deraisa, a din derabbanan, that you blow shofar, you blow the tkiyas al seder habrachas. So this halacha, that you should blow shofar in conjunction with the chazans, malchus, zecharinus, and shofars, only applies, we observe it only by chazaras hashatz. You don't say it b'yichidus, only chazaras hashatz. And from the Rambam is mashma, we said before, you only yaitza chazaras hashatz if you have 9 people answering amen. If you don't have people answering Amen, so you're not Yotzeh with Shema Kainan. The fact that everybody's listening to every word of the Chazan, that's not sufficient. They have to answer Amen. And if you answer Amen improperly, it's the equivalent of not having answered Amen. So that's why they had more of a Kpeda on Rosh Hashanah than all year long. They insisted, their Biskarov used to, and Rav Soloveitchik used to do like that, they would insist on announcing in advance, everyone should be careful to answer Amen properly, not to answer Amin Chatufa. Amin Yisayim is usually not a problem in Chazara Sashat. The problem usually is the Amin Chatufa. Because the Niggin, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Niggin on Yom Tov falls, and Kadesh Yisrael, Bahazmamein. Everybody does like that. They answer Amen with the final syllable. That's called an Amin Chatufa. Too soon. You answer too soon. So if you answer improperly, it's the equivalent of not having answered Amen. If you didn't answer Amen, so no one's Yotze Chazara Sashat. No one's Yotze Chazara Sashat. So you're not Yotze the Ikedin that says in the Mishnah that you're supposed to have Tkiyas. I'll say to our brachas. Supposed to have the tkiyas in conjunction with the Chazara Sashat. So that's why there used to be makbid more on Rosh Hashanah than all year long, but it's the proper practice should be all year long. We have to be careful about Aniyas Amen. It should neither be Amen Chatufa, nor should it be an Amen Yisayim.
Why should we instruct the Chaz not to stretch it out?
Exactly. So some of the good Chazanim know that they should mislead the Olam. They should say the end of the bracha quickly.
Which is also
good. Also Tegnish, yeah. Also not correct.
You have to,
yes. Someone put out a sefer a few years ago, I think 500 page sefer that's entitled Amen. How to answer Amen. There's enough to fill up 500 pages, but for this you don't need 500 pages. This is one page. Regarding the Etzem Din itself, the Tkiyas Al Seder Abrachas. So that's a big question. The Mishnah records it. That's a big question. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? So Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas Emor, as well as in the Gemara in many places, Rashi conveys the impression as if Malchus Zechon HaShoifers is a din d'oraisa. And Rashi seems to have understood that the Tkiyas Al Seder Brachas is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara has in the end of Rosh Hashanah different opinions, and the way it's usually accepted is that we blow a lot of tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah, most of it is midirabbanan. Min haTorah, all you have to blow is tkiyah, true tkiyah, three times. But we blow much more. Why do you have to blow tkiyah? Based on psukim, three times tkiyah, true tkiyah. Why three times? So Rashi says, obvious. Once after Malchus, once after Zechronis, and once after Shofers. So if you assume that the whole idea of Malchus and Shofers is only midirabbanan, the whole Nusach HaTfilah is only midirabbanan. So Rashi is explaining Adin Deraisa based on Adin Derabbanan, that the reason why you have to blow Tekiyah, Teruah, Tekiyah three times is because it corresponds to the three brachas, Malchus and Shofers. So Rashi sounds like he's telling you this is Adin Deraisa. You have to daven Malchus and Shofers ben HaTorah. You have to have the Tekiyahs, I'll say there are brachas. Rashi sounds beferish that it's Adin Deraisa. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas and more, points out the Rashi on Chumash. The Rashi sounds like he's implying that Kiyas al Seder Abrachas, Malchus Chayin HaShofes, Adin Deraisa. So the Ramban says, how can he say that? It's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara in the end of the Masichta, the last Amid Beis, on Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, the Gemara has a Braisa. The fellow in Europe, they used to have, a Jew lives on a farm, and he doesn't have a Machzer, he's not going to be able, he doesn't know Malchus Chayin HaShofes by heart. And he doesn't have a shofar, so he's going to be, he won't have anything on Rosh Hashanah. And he doesn't have enough money to go travel to Varsha, to Vilna, that he should hear the davening, he should get a machzor, he should get a shofar. He has a brera either to go to one village or the other. So one village, they have a shofar, but they don't have a machzor. So he'll get ki a shofar, but he won't get the davening, the special davening of Malchus and a shofar. The other village, they have a machzor, but they don't have a shofar. So which one should he go to? So the price, best is you should go to a village where they have both. That's not an option. He can't afford that. His wife is expecting a baby, whatever. He can't go so far away from home. So the price says it's preferable that you should go to the village where they have the shofar, as opposed to the village where they have the machzor. Feg the Gemara pshita. For that you need a price to tell you the din. We know that kiyah shofar is a din daraisa. And the whole davening Malchus Chayin HaShofes is only with the Rabbanon. So of course, if you have a toss-up, you have a choice, you can only fulfill one mitzvah or another, either a mitzvah min HaTorah, a mitzvah min Rabbanon. So of course, you fulfill the mitzvah min HaTorah. That's more important than the mitzvah min Rabbanon. So what do you need a braisa to tell you such an obvious din? The Gemara says, no, lo tzricha. So the Gemara explains, we're talking asafi. In one community, they have a machzer, but they don't have a shofar. So for sure, you'll get to daven Malchus and a shofars, and you won't have tkiyas. In the other village, they don't have a machzer, and they may or may not have a shofar. So he may be left with nothing. He may be kerech mikan mikerech mikan. They don't have a machzor for sure, and they may or may not have a shofar, and there is no cell phone. There's no fax machine. There's no way to communicate with them to know. He's not going to know till he gets there. And he can only afford to go to one or the other. He's going to go there, he's going to find that Erev Yontif, that they don't have a shofar either. He's going to be stuck there. So the Gemara says, that's what the Braisa tells you. If one village has a vaday machzer and no shofar, and the other so you'll vaday have malchus chayin and shofars, but you won't have shofar. The other village, the vaday has no machzer and may or may not have a shofar. So the suffix that maybe, the suffix maybe you'll get a shofar is preferable. You should grab that possibility as opposed to the vaday machzer. Even though it may turn out you'll be left with nothing over here. The Gemara says, no, since it's a suffix that you may chap. So it's preferable to go to that village.
Why is it different when Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbos? We're not going to blow shofar. We yaisu with malchus shofar and so forth, right? So why is that different than if I know there's no shofar? Why am I not yaisu the same way as yaisu if it came out on Shabbos?
No, it comes out on Shabbos. You're not Yaitzit Tkir Shofar. The Chachamim declared they prohibit us from fulfilling the mitzvah. Avadi is that you're daven without a Shofar also. But when Rosh Hashanah falls on the Shabbos, so the Chachamim prohibited us from fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa. So we say, Yesh Kech Be'al Chachamim, Lakadov Menatar, B'Shei Be'al Tase, the Rabbanim have authority to instruct us, to command us not to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. But over here, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on the weekday, you are mechuyev to hit Kir Shofar. If you go to a village where there's no shofar, there's only a machzor, so you can, of course you can be yotze malchus chayin shofar, it's without a shofar. But you won't be yotze Kir Shofar? You're mechuyev to blow the shofar. So the Ramban says, how can Rashi imply that malchus chayin shofar is deraisa? The Gemara says, beferish not so. The Gemara says, I don't need a braisa to tell me this din, that if in one village they have a machzor, in one village they have a shofar, of course you go to the village where there's a shofar. That's their rice and that's their rabbanon. So the Gemara states the famous that malchus chayin shofar is only with their rabbanon. How can Rashi write that it's their rice? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over, there's a sefer on Rosh Hashanah. It's known as the Kapas Tmorim. It's on Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and on Sukkah. So on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, one third of the sefer is on Rosh Hashanah. That's third of the sefer is called Yom Truah. The one third of the Sefer is on Yuma, that's called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. He wrote like his own Tosefes. And the third that's on Sukkah is the most popular part, that's called the Kapas Tmar. So people usually call the whole Sefer Kapas Tmar. So in that Sefer, the Kapas Tmar, the section of Rosh Hashanah, he gives the Pshat in Rashi. He says that Rashi thinks that Malchus Chayin Shofar is the Raisa when it comes in conjunction with Kiyah Shofar. When you're going to daven Malchus Chayin Shofar alone without Shofar, then Rashi agrees, that's the Gemara B'Ferish, that it's only made the Rabbanah. But when the Malchus Chayin Shofar comes together with the Shofar, then Rashi holds that it's a din deraisa. So Rashi apparently thinks that this din in the Mishnah, that you're supposed to have tekiyas al seder habrachas, that tekiyas is supposed to be in conjunction with the Malchus Chayin Shofar, Rashi thinks that that's a real din deraisa. Ramban clearly thinks that it's only made the Rabbanah, because the Ramban time is the whole Malchus Chayin Shofar is always midir rabbanon. He doesn't distinguish whether you do have a shofar, you don't have a shofar. Ramban thinks the whole davening of malchus chayin shofar is only midir rabbanon. But according to Rashi, you're dealing with a real din deraisa. So that's a Rav Soloveitchik and their whole family. They used to be insistent on announcing in advance everyone should be careful regarding the anias omein on Rosh Hashanah all year long. One should be careful. You should be yotze chazaras hashatz, and you're not yotze unless you have 9 people answering omein properly. If they answer Amin improperly, it's like no one answered. And the Rambam sounds like he says that Anias Amin is ma'akev by the Chazaras Hashatz. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's even more so, because if they don't answer Amin properly, so no one's yaitzah this din deraisa of tkiyas al seder habrachas. Yeah. Where does this din deraisa come from? Where a din deraisa, you have to have a pasuk in Chumash. So the Malchus Chayin Shofar is the Gemara derives from Sukkim. Ramban holds that it's only asmachta, and Rashi thinks no, that it's a real din deraisa. But where does this idea come from the Chumash, that the tkiyas al seder habrachas, the connection, the combination of the tkiyas shofar with the davening, that's also min haTorah? What is the source for that idea? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the Gemara, the fourth perek in Rosh Hashanah writes that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. The first, the Gemara thought that it's a din deraisa. Then the Gemara says, no, it's only a din midirabbanon. It's the gzeira de Rabba. Rabba is not the one who made the gzeira. The Gzeira existed in the days of the Tanaim. Rabbi is an Amira. Rabbi is the one who explains what the Gzeira is all about. So Rabbi says, Gzeira Shemi Yavirenu Dalanamis Bishusara. We're afraid that someone, if you're going to tell people, I have to blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, you have to shake a lulav even when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So someone for sure is going to forget and carry a lulav, and somebody, a lot of people are going to forget, they're going to carry a shofar. So because we're so concerned, we're more concerned about Chilul Shabbos than we are about the Tkiyah Shofar, so we don't permit anybody to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So the Gemara finally comes to that realization that the fact that you don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos is only a Gzeira Medirabbanan, and that's called Gzeira Derabba. So originally the Gemara thought that it's a Din Deraisa. So the Gemara, based on Psukim and Chumash, the Gemara says there seems to be an apparent contradiction between the two Psukim. Well, on the one hand, one Pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Teruah, the day on which we actually blow Shofar. The other Pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as the day Zichron Teruah. Zichron Teruah means the day that we talk about Tkiyah Shofar, Lahazkir. Zichron means Lahazkir, to talk about Tkiyah Shofar. So which is it? Do we talk about Tkiyah, so do we actually blow Shofar? So the Gemara says, oh, maybe this is the Teretz. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you just talk about Tkiyas. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, then you actually blow Shofar. So the Gemara said, that's ridiculous. How can that be? But in the Beis HaMikdash, it says that even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, by Mikdash are you talking, they did blow Shofar. So you see, the Menat Torah, you do blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Gemara says, no, it's only Midirabban. Fine. So once you come to the realization that they're not blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yisrael, Shabbos, only Midirabbanon, so how do you taka understand the pasuk Zichron Teruah? The Gemara leaves you hanging. So what does it mean, Zichron Teruah? So one of the early Achrayim writes, Zichron Teruah means when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar, but it's only a din Midirabbanon, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who made the din Midirabbanon. It was already instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the pasuk is alluding to takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Gzeira Derabba. Who made the Gzeira Derabba? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's usually assumed not so. Everybody assumes that this Gzeira, not to blow Shofar from Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, was not instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. So that's what the Halachas Ketanis writes, that the Pasuk is alluding to this Gzeira Derabbanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted that first Rosh Hashanah was Chol Yisrael B'Shabbos, and they didn't blow Shofar because Moshe Rabbeinu made the Gzer. So it's usually assumed not so. We always assume this Gzer was instituted Bizman Bayisheni. And in fact, the Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, has in his collection of drushes for Rosh Hashanah, whole drusha, why Dafke did they make all these Gzeris Bizman Bayisheni? Why did they make all these Gzeris earlier? So it gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation that Bizman Bayisheni till the days of the Chashmonaim, which was a few centuries, the first couple hundred years into the Bayisheni, there was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. When there's no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then somehow the Yetzer Hara has a bigger shlita on the people, so you have to make Gzeiras the Rabbanim. Bizman Bayisheni, there was always a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, so because there was a Memshala, a Jewish government, so that's why the Yetzer Hara has less of a shlita. How that corresponds to reality is a question. But he says it's a davar pashut. He says it's a davar yodua that the gzeira derabbanan not to blow shofar for Rosh Hashanah Chaliyas B'Shabbos was instituted bizman bayisheni. Wasn't instituted in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how do you taka understand the pasuk? The Gemara just leaves you hanging. What does it mean, zichron teruah? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's where Rashi comes in over here. That zichron teruah means you should blow shofar in conjunction with the tefillah. And the Gemara has a lashon that tefillah is for the purpose of l'hal zichronim shal Yisrael lefnei avim shebashamayim. Zichron teruah is the pasuk that tells you tkiyas. I'll say the abrachas. I learned that from other pesukim. You should say malchis. You should say zichronis. You should say shofars. And this phrase zichron teruah implies that the tkiyah shofar should be in conjunction with those three brachas of malchis, zichronis, and shofars. When it comes together, then Rashi holds that it's derais. If you daven malchis, zichronis, shofars without a shofar, Rashi agrees that's what the Gemara says, that's only Midirabbanan. When it comes in conjunction, the tkiyas come together with the davening, then the Malchus HaKhanah Shofar becomes their Raisa.
Because of that, the Rav told us that we should, even if you don't stand for Hazar Shashat, when you have the Rav, you should stand because you have to provide tkiyas and say that Rav. You don't go down to the Shabbat.
me, it was always a problem. Because I have to be naked as a regular in order to wash my hands. So, now, washing your hands and doing it, that's not a device. That's a problem. Right? So, how could I do that and be, and forgo here's a set of brothers? According to Rashi.
No, that was already a chumrah. The Rishonim say like this: when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei Chazaras Hashatz, do we require that everybody should stand, or can they sit? So it says like this: if a person, no, no, they should go out in the middle of piyutim. They shouldn't go out in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz on the bracha. They should go out in the middle of a piyut. So that's talking not right. You shouldn't go out. You shouldn't go out.
So wait, so I shouldn't go out.
You should have the.
What about
they should walk. No. Taisus and Saita, that's what we're learning the rest of the year. Taisus and the end of Saita has this question. When the Kohanim are required to wash their hands in order to duchen, does it have to be tekef l'netila bracha? Are they required to wash immediately before they're going to duchen? Or can they wash in the morning and rely on the Netilas Yadayim in the morning? So it's a machlokes. So Tosfos says we go the chumra in both directions. We insist the Kohanim should wash their hands right before they duchen, but they don't say a bracha because maybe it was sufficient with the Netilas Yadayim that they did in the morning.
Isn't that the question on Yom Kippur, but they have to wash their hands as well besides
the Yadayim? No, they do. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash your hands unnecessarily, but whatever is needed because of the din, so you do have to wash. So the Kohanim wash their hands right before. But it says in Shulchan Aruch like this, on Yom Kippur, when we wash Negel Vaser, so you only wash till the knuckles. You don't wash till the wrist. All year long, it's a machlek, as Rashi and Tosfos, is how much you have to wash. So all year long, we're machmer. We wash till the wrist. Negel Vaser until the Siddam for eating bread. And on Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to wash unnecessarily, so we follow the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin is like Tosfos. Rashi says you have to wash till the wrist. Mikar Adin, we paskan like this. They only have to wash till the knuckles. On Yom Kippur, everybody only washes till the knuckles. As far as Kohanim washing their hands for duchening, that's also machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi holds the Kohanim have to wash their hands for duchening till the elbow. So nobody does that. So it's a raya that we follow Tosfos. So Tosfos says for the Kohanim to duchen, they have to wash till the wrist. To wash for Negel Vasa in the morning, to wash on until it's your dime to eat bread. That mikra din you wash till the knuckles, but because Rashi holds you should wash till the wrist. So in America we have a lot of water, so you wash till the wrist. But to wash the tilis yadayim for duchening, that's either till the elbow or till the wrist. So we're makel that it's enough, but you have to wash till the wrist. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Everybody wakes up in the morning on Yom Kippur, so you only wash till the knuckles. But the Kohanim are going to duchen later on. And they're not going to say a bracha on the Tilis Yadayim because they're going to be relying on the Tilis Yadayim that they did in the morning when they woke up. So the Kohanim will wash their hands in the morning on Yom Kippur should wash till the wrist. Those who plan to duchen should wash till the wrist in the morning. And they say on the Tilis Yadayim. So then when they wash the duchen a second time, they wash again till the wrist, but believe bracha because they rely, maybe they will yotze within the Tilis Yadayim in the morning. That's the way it says. It says Kohanim. Those Kohanim who plan to duchen should wash till the wrist, because they're not going. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this when they achrayim, because they're not going to say a bracha when they wash. That's the accepted psak. The Kohanim are going to wash for duchening. Okay. It's not so hard to understand. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to, if the shul is not so crowded, so you should have the levim wash the kohanim's hands in the shul. They shouldn't go out to the vestibule. Yeah. And a lot of shuls, they dafke wash in the shul. Both according to Rashi and according to the Ramban, everybody agrees that Kiyos Shofar is connected with the brachas of the Malchus Shofar. The tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah blend in to be part of the tefillah. There's a rabbi in Baltimore, an elderly gentleman, Rabbi Palyakov. So he put out he was an American, and he went to learn in Telz 8 years before the war. Like Rabbi Gifter. And then they all came back. When the war broke out, they all came back. So now, at the age of 91 or so, he just put out a book a couple of years ago in English that's entitled Minhag Litten. So he writes that in all the yeshivas, they're trying to reconstruct was Flag Zion in the Litvish yeshivas. And how do they know? There's nobody alive who learned in the Litvish yeshivas. So they have documented, they look in the Mishnah Berurah. So he tines the Mishnah Berurah doesn't, there are no similarity living or dead to what they did in the Litvish yeshivas. And he points out 10, 15 different issues that the Mishnah Berurah writes he should do like this. And even in Radin, they didn't do like that. All the Litvish yeshivas, they didn't do like, even in Radin, they didn't do it. For example, he says, in all the yeshivas and all over Litva, the people put on the talis and tefillin in the shul. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, who quotes from the Zohar, you should put on a talis and tefillin before you go into the shul. How can you, the Zohar says, how can you, when you walk into the shul, you say, Ani barav chazda ha obe b'secha eshtach v'alhecha katshecha b'yir ha-secha. Where's b'yir ha-secha? He comes in without talis and tefillin, there's no b'yir ha-secha. So the Zohar says, you have to put on a talis and tefillin before. So this Rabbi Polikov writes, even in Radin they didn't do like that. In all the Litvish yeshivas they didn't do. That's a W do it. The Mishnah Berurah totally ignores what the common practice was. If you want to know what the practice was in Litva, got to look in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan always defends the Litvish and Minig, even if it's against what the Paskim say. So he'll always tell you what the Minig was. Or for example, the Mishnah Berurah says that when you say Kaddish, you have to start off Yizgadel v'Yizkadesh. The 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yizgadel, Yizkadesh, the first two should be in Hebrew, and the next set, 8 should be in Aramaic. Because the 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishtabach, Yisparav, Yisramam, Yisnasei, those are 8. Because the 10 praises correspond to the Aseres HaDibros, and Anochi V'Le'ilucha, the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, M'pi HaGvura Shemayinim, and the other 8 were told over by Moshe Rabbeinu, so to indicate that they're different, you separate them. Yizgadel, Yizkadesh in the beginning, the other 8 are later, and the first two should be in Hebrew, and the other 8 should be in Aramaic. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Rekeach. So this Rabbi Polyakov writes, nowhere in Lithuania, he asked people, even in Radin, no one said Yizgadel, Yizkadesh. That's the Nusach HaGro, the Vilna Gaon. So the Mishnah Berurah was a big fan of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, but if you want to know what was the meaning of Litva, it was not like that. And Kohen HaVachen has a whole list of things. So one of the things that he writes about is blowing shofar on Chodesh Elul. He says the minig developed now after the war, Zokter, that when you finish davening shachris, so you say aleinu, then you say shir shalom, then you blow shofar over lasiyosam, then you say the davar Hashem Mori. He says in Europe they never did that. After the davening was all over, acher kechlos hakol, as the people were walking out of the shul, as the people were folding up the talis and tefillin, they blew the shofar. They never blew the shofar before the davar Hashem Mori. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said also. He said it's a mistake. And Rav Soloveitchik insisted that on Rosh Hashanah, the din is you have to blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz because the tkiyah is part of the davening. It blends in, it's supposed to be enhancing the davening. Masha'inikin Chodesh Elul, the tkiyahs are not part of the davening. Should not be. After the davening is all over, we keep on making an announcement by blowing shofar. It's like a hachrozeh. Don't forget, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are around the corner. And everybody should prepare, everybody should go through the matz, everybody should do a little tshuva, everybody should shape up for the Yomim Noraim. It's a hachroza, but it's not really part of the davening. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used the time. He said also that he doesn't remember such a minig in Europe. That's the theme of this book by Rabbi Polyakov is that so many people were killed in the war and those who ran away. So the whole tradition of exactly what the minhagim used to be was in Gansen distorted. Everything was lost. We have on Leil Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara comments, there's a din, Loisa Nachashu V'Loisa Oneinu. Loisa Oneinu means Ona, a time. There are certain lucky days, certain unlucky days. By the Nochrim, by the Umas Olam, Friday the 13th, supposed to be an unlucky day. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition that the 9 days is whenever there's a confrontation between Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam, so the 9 days is not a good season of the year if a Jew has a court case with a Nachri, he shouldn't go in the 9 days, because the Nachrim is Barya Mazlayu. Their Mazl is stronger than 9 days. And Chodesh Ador is... our Mazl is Bari. Our Mazl is stronger. So if you have a court case with a Nachri, or there's a confrontation between Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam, you should go try to set it for Chodesh Ador. But aside from that, the 9 days, as opposed to Chodesh Ador, we don't believe that there is such a thing, that this day is more lucky than that day. So anyone who places emphasis on one day as opposed to another day, this is luckier, is in violation of Loisa Einenu. So that's why in the days of the Rishonim, there used to be a machloikas, people when they get married, have a minig, they start a minig to check on a calendar, to try to get married in the beginning of the month, till the 15th of the month, till the 18th of the month, when the Levan is getting bigger and bigger. So just like the Levan is getting bigger, so the love that the Chas and Kala have for each other should grow and grow. As opposed to getting married at the end of the month, so it's a shlechta mazel. So many Rishonim held you're not allowed to look at such a calendar. You have to ignore when the Milui Halavan is, when the Moilit is, when the Milui Halavan is. You have to ignore our list. It's a violation of Lo Yisayinenu. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin that it's permissible. It doesn't say Yimuchuyiv to. It says permissible. And there's a tshuva by Anun Garish Egoyen, the one who wrote Teichtal, the one who wrote Deim Abonim Smecha. Is Alamal Gaven anti? He was always anti-Zionist until the middle of the war, when the Nazis were killing everybody. So he realized what a mistake it was. So he wrote a whole sefer when he was running away from the Nazis. Wrote a whole sefer from memory. He quotes all the Gemaras and all the Midrashim, unbelievable. And he shows what a mistake it was. We should have all gone to Eretz Yisrael. So this Adam Gadol has tshuvas also. Normal. They're not Ungarish tshuvas. They're very normal tshuvas. Could have been written by any Litvishe goyim. So he has a tshuva about getting married the first half of the month. So he says it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you're mechuyev to pick a day. It says it's permissible to do it. You want to do it as a siman yofe. You want to, let's say you, the kala wants to wear a white gown. Why? A symbol of purity. Halacha, she has to wear a white gown. If she can't afford it, so you don't wear a white gown. The world doesn't come to an end. You're not mechuyev to. People want to wear a white gown as a siman yofe. You want to have white tablecloths. You want to have blue polka dots. It isn't a hey. You want to have white tablecloths, it's prettier. So you want to get married. But Chilas HaChodesh also, he says, it doesn't say you mechuyev to, it says it's permissible. It's not a violation of Lo Sa'aneinu, because it's not that we believe the marriage will be successful if you get married in the beginning of the month. The marriage will be unsuccessful if you get married at the end of the month. We don't believe in that. You just want to choose just as a siman yofe. But let's say all the nights are booked already. And this month I can't because my sister-in-law is expecting a baby. And the other month I can't because my shvig is expecting a baby. So they're going to postpone the wedding 3 months just in order to get married Tchilas HaChodesh. That's a little ridiculous. You're permitted to be medaktik on Tchilas HaChodesh if it works out. But he says you're not mechuyev to. So the Gemara has such a similar issue. The Gemara says they used to have a practice that on Leil Rosh Hashanah they used to eat fruits or vegetables, offer a tefillah to the Rabban Shalom, Yerotzam, we should have Shana Toiva Mesukah. They would dip the challah in honey, dip the apple in honey, they would offer a tefillah. So to make the tefillah stronger, so they would act out the tefillah. The ikir, that's how the Nesivis writes in his Sefer Adrush, in his Nachlas Yankif. The Nesivis was a rabbi in a community, so he had to give drushes. So he published a collection of all of his drushes. That's called Nachlas Yankif. So he writes in his Sefer, that the ikir of the simanim on Leil Rosh Hashanah is to offer a tefillah. But if you act out the idea contained in the tefillah, you eat carrots or you eat whatever, celery, or you eat rice or whatever you're going to eat, apples with honey, so the ikir really is the tefillah. And then you act out the theme of the tefillah by eating this kind of fruit or vegetable, so that enhances the tefillah. That's the idea behind it. But it's not that we believe that because we're dipping the apple and honey, I'm going to have a sweet year, and if we're not going to dip the apple and honey, you're not going to have a sweet year. That's ridiculous. That's loisa nachashu. That's nichush. To think that such a thing is going to determine whether we're going to have a good year or not going to have a good year. It's the Gemara says, simon emilsehi. You want to enhance the tefillah. You want to offer a tefillah to Rabban Shalom. You want to enhance the tefillah by acting out the tefillah. That's permissible. But you're not allowed to place such emphasis on it, as if it's a matter of life or death, that this is going to determine whether it's going to happen or not. Many achrenim write that the minhag to have the simanim, it's only the first night of Rosh Hashanah. So the second night of Rosh Hashanah is that many have the minig even the second night, but most write that the minig is only to have these simonim, these fruits and the vegetables, the first night to eat a head of a fish, to eat the head of a lamb, Rosh HaKeves. It's everything is only on the first night. On the second night, it's already, the whole din was already, everything was on the first day. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is only midirabbanan. Second day Rosh Hashanah, usually in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have 2 days yontif. Where does the 2 days yontif come from? Years ago, the witnesses had to see the new moon. They would have to go to testify in front of the Bezin to say that we saw the new Levana, and the Bezin would determine that that's Rosh Chodesh. So the Bezin would send people going on horseback to notify everyone when it was Rosh Chodesh, so they wouldn't be able to notify everybody. So there was only a certain distance where the Shluchim would be Magim. So that was Bezman Shikitshu Al Pi Hariya, that they would declare Rosh Chodesh based on the witnesses coming to testify. And then at a later point, in the days of Hillel HaSheni, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nosser, so they established the Luach as we have it today. So we don't have any witnesses coming and testify. So today, there's no longer a Sveika Diyoma. We know when Yontif is. You know, years in advance, which day of the week Yontif is going to fall out. So the Gemara says, why do we still continue to observe Yontif Sheni Shel Golias? Gemara says, Minig Avaseinu V'Yadeinu. That was the Psak we should continue to observe. So the Rambam writes, those people who live within a certain proximity to the Beis Avad, where the Bezdin who did the Kiddush HaChodesh used to be located, so those who live close to Yerushalayim, so they should have 1 day Yontif. Those who live far away should have 2 days Yontif. So the Rambam says it's not a function whether they live in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laretz. There are places in Eretz Yisrael that are very far away from Yerushalayim, so they have to have 2 days Yontif. The places in Chutz Laretz that are very close to Yerushalayim, so they should only have 1 day Yontif. So that's how the Rambam writes. That is obviously not the common practice. Common practice today is like the Ritva. The Ritva Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that originally when the Bezin used to be Mekadosh Al Pi Hariya, and those communities who live far away from the Beis Avad, far away from the location where the Bezin used to meet, usually in Yerushalayim, so those who live far away would have 2 days Yontif. Those who live close by would only have 1 day Yontif because the Shluchim would be Magim. But he says, Bizman HaZeh, that it's a Takana D'Rabbanan, there is no Sveika D'Yoyma. So the Ritva says, and that's the common practice, that all over in Eretz Yisrael is 1 day Yontif, and all over in Chutz Laretz is 2 days Yontif. There are people who they were tzaddikim, chassidim, anshei ma'ase, who would observe 2 days Yontif in Eretz Yisrael if they live far away from Yerushalayim. The Stipler didn't want people to know. Every time he wouldn't write, he wouldn't take down a sukkah on the second Yontif. He wouldn't write any Chidush Torah, and he wouldn't do any Malachas on the second day. And they always asked him, are you observing the Rambam Shita? So he didn't want to say. So he said, no, I don't feel well, I'm tired. He gave it teretz all the time. And obviously, that's what he was concerned about. The Brisker Rav was like that. They would be choshish for the Rambam's opinion, that it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. It depends on how close you are to the Beis Avad. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so the common practice is in Eretz Yisrael that all over they observe 2 days Yontif. So this is really a change in history. The Baal HaMoor writes on Beitza, on the first parak in Beitza, that until the students of the Rif came to Eretz Yisrael, they only observed 1 day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. And the students of the Rif changed the minig, and they introduced the Shitas HaRif, that you have to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah all over in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban explains what the issue is. So Ramban on Beitza, on the first parak in Beitza, explains. He says, the Beis Havad, the central office where the Bezin would be Mekabel the Edim to determine whether they should make Rosh Chodesh or not, always used to meet in Yerushalayim till the time of the Churban HaBayis. Then at the time of the Churban HaBayis, they were all over the place. And sometimes they'd be in Tveria, sometimes in Tzipori, sometimes in Usha, sometimes in Shfaram, in different locations. And in different years, there would be different places in Eretz Yisrael. From the north to the south, they'd be all over the place. So we treat all of Eretz Yisrael with the same status, because everybody is, at one time or another, was very close to the Beis Avad, at another time or another, was very far away from the Beis Avad. So that's what the original Psak in Eretz Yisrael was, that since the Beis Avad was floating around for many years, so every community, at some time or another, only had 1 day Rosh Hashanah. So when they established the Luach later on, they said, in the places where they always had 2 days Rosh Hashanah they should continue. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Avad, the Bezdin was moving around from place to place, and in some year or another, every city in Eretz Yisrael only had one day Rosh Hashanah. So when they said, everybody who used to observe 2 days Yontif should continue to, means only those who always observe 2 days. In Eretz Yisrael, every city, sometime or another, only had one day Yontif. And the Rif held not so, that since every location in Eretz Yisrael, at some time or another, one year or another, was so far away from the Beis Avad, Rosh Hashanah, they can't send any shluchim. The shluchim can't go chutz l'tchum. So any city that's chutz l'tchum of the location where the Beis Avad is going to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So since every city in Eretz Yisrael at some time or another had to have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so when they made the takana later, hizor b'midang avasechem miyadechem, whoever ever observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah should always observe it now. So that's the machlekes between the practice before the days of the Talmidei Harif and after. Now, Lamaisa, the practice is that in Eretz Yisrael they observe 2 days Yontif. There's a Taisus in Chagiga. Taisus discusses who was Reb Lezer HaKalir. Who was he? So we know who he was. He lived in the days of the Balei HaTaisus.
Maybe he was a Tana.
So Taisus says he must have been a Tana. What's the Raya? Because he doesn't have any piyutim for the second day Yontif. So maybe he's alive today. They don't observe 2 days Yontif in Eretz Yisrael today. How do they prove that he must be a Tana? Because he never wrote any piyutim for the second day Yontif. Maybe he's alive today in an Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he lives in Eretz Yisrael. They only have 1 day Yontif. So some interpret the Tosfos, there is a Ravid on the bottom of the Rif in Psochim. The Ravid writes that when they made the Takana, everybody should observe 2 days Yontif. The Takana applies even to Eretz Yisrael. Everybody has to observe 2 days Yontif. Not only Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael also. No, nobody follows that opinion. You always have to have 2 days Yontif. So some interpret that Tosfos goes with that Shitas arriving. So Tosfos says the fact that Reb Lezer HaKalir never wrote any piyutim for the second day Yontif is a raya that he must have lived in the Tkufa Satanaim when they still did Kiddush Al Chedesh Al Piharia, and they never observed Yontif Shena Shel Golis. Others say, yeah, Tosfos holds like that, right? But nobody holds like that. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows there's only 1 day Yontif. What the Nedi Biyuda says, Tosfos means to say there are no piyutim for Reb Lezer HaKalir for the second day Rosh Hashanah. That's what they mean. And today, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Lezer HaKalir must have lived in the days of the Tanoim when they still had Kiddush HaKadosh Al Pi Ariya, and there were communities in Eretz Yisrael where there was only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. So that's why Reb Lezer HaKalir never wrote piyutim for the second day Rosh Hashanah. But then they would know the last minute. That once happened. It must have once happened. Yeah. Anyway, Lemaisa, Allah Lemaisa, that we know that all of Eretz Yisrael observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And it was instituted after this year they have to make an Erev Tavshil. We have to make an Erev Tavshil for sure. And the rest of the Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, we don't follow the right. The Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, they only have 1 day off. Okay. Everybody has to go say Slichas. Aksiva Achsim Ataiva, a good yard.
There'll be a Shia next week.
On a regular basis.